Grace.
Bless him, Lord.
Well, you could do it both of them.
I was going to do a piece of the back. I'll let you.
Bless him. Morning was about the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I like the Holy Spirit. I like it when it shows up. Amen. I like it when it's real. Glory to God. Appreciate this song, Brother Danny. Appreciate the good congregational singing. I haven't been saved but 31 years, but I must admit I was raised on that book right there. Mm-hmm. They don't even have that book there no more. But I'll tell you what, I like singing songs about Him. Amen.
Amen.
I like it when it's about Him. Glory to God. And today I hope, even though this is Memorial Day Sunday, and we certainly don't want to take away from that, I want to also honor Him on today in this on this Memorial Day Sunday morning. This May the 26th, 2019, let's certainly not forget those that gave their lives so we can enjoy our freedoms. But also, let's not forget him that gave his life a ransom for all.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, boy, I love when it's about him. We want to do our best to preach about him today. Get your good old King James Bible out. If you don't have a King James Bible, just sit on it, use it for a cushion. And I'll read you some truth today. I'll tell you right now, that's one thing we need more than anything today is some truth.
Yes.
But we're going to be in Romans chapter 1. We're going to start verse number 18. We're going to read all the way to the end of the chapter. And I'm going to try my best to be explicit or to the point. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm going to use great plainness of speech this morning. I've already said this in the Sunday school class, and I'll forewarn you right now. This is going to be a rough message. You won't hear this kind of preaching. I doubt very much in this area, period. But certainly not in the United States of America. But I have no choice in this matter. I've told y'all once. I've told you before. I'm just a messenger boy.
Right.
I just deliver God's message. And even this morning, I'm delivering this message as it was given to me. There's not much about Eddie Wade at all. There's a lot about God
right. That
we need to really take a closer look at. Amen.
Yes.
Alright, Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Paul writing to the church in Rome. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. I could stop right there. That'd be sufficient to cover this message today. But I want to read this chapter on out. I want you to really take into consideration what I just read to you. God has never condoned sin.
Right.
He's never gave us a cloak to go do whatever. He's against that. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now we're going to try to clear up some muddy water here this morning, so bear with me. And because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that, notice these last four words, they're without excuse. Now they want one, but they don't have one. And the reason they don't is because of this Bible, because of God. If there wasn't no God, if there wasn't no Bible, they'd be without excuse.
Amen.
But to know better and still do it, you don't have any escape. I believe it's Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape? We neglect so great salvation. Or so great salvation, not a salvation. No escape, no excuse. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God. Now, really let that sink in a minute. Paul's talking to saved people here.
Yeah.
Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. See, I believe it's Titus, as many profess they know Him, but in works they deny Him.
Right.
Well, that kind of fits right here. They knew better, but they went ahead and did it anyway. They glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I need to get on with this. I'm dying to preach today. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, make that like unto corruptible man, to birds, the four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own bodies, or their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Let that sink in just a minute.
Right.
You're right.
You know, we just had an administration, and his main word in his campaign was change.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'm ready for change. We had no idea what kind of change was coming, and I didn't vote for the man. But I'll tell you right now, a lot of people voted for him, found out later on the change he was talking about wasn't the change they was hoping for. But you know, it worked pretty good for a campaign. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a change. Well, listen, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
Amen.
For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use to that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one to another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was met. And even as they, this is the problem right here, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, can't even read this morning, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, and they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but to have pleasure in them that do them. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for the scripture that you provided that we just read. Lord, we pray, God, today you could help our tongue to be like the pen of a ready writer.
Yes.
Help us, Lord, I pray, to give great honor to your word. Lord, I hope right now, my earnest prayer, you'll help me, Lord,
yes,
to preach this message today with a degree of truth that cannot be argued with, that cannot be contested. I pray you'll help me take the word of God today, Lord, to use it, Lord, I pray, as a plummet line to put things where they need to be. Help us not to get in the gray. Help us to stay, Lord, between the darkness and the light. Not to meddle, not to muddy, Lord, the difference between the two categories. I call light, light, dark, darkness. Help us, I pray, in this message, Lord, as we ask for your help, we give you praise and glory. Ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, our text verse is found right there in verse number 26. The last part of verse number 26 says, which is against nature. I'm preaching today a message against nature. This is a rough message. And I started to title this message, Listen and Listen Good, because that's what you need to do today. Listen. One reason we're in so much trouble today is we haven't been listening.
Right.
I'm going to tell you some truths today. I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
Yeah. Come on.
Put your seatbelt. It really is going to be a come on.
Yes.
I'm honestly going to preach pretty hard today.
Amen.
I get no joy out of it. I have no choice in this matter. I am going to put the finger on the problem. I'm going to point the direction that we need to go in. You may not get on board, but I'll tell you one thing, you're going to know better than what we've been doing here lately. This is not a personal message. I'm not directing this message to any of y'all.
Right.
I'm going to put it out there, and you'll have real easy understanding on where it actually belongs. I could have titled this message calling it what it is, but that's what I'm going to do today.
Right.
Now, we've been mentioning words for a long time, kind of muddying the water up a little bit. Does anybody remember a book called The Emperor Wore No Clothes? When I was in elementary school, I believe it was in second grade, Miss Milton, she read this book to us. And in this book, this emperor, you know, he's desirous, you know, to look his best. And finally, he's wore all these real nice royal garments, you know. And he's trying to find the more perfect royal garment. This guy shows up, you know, and he's kind of a con man, Karen. And he says, King, I'm fixing to give you the greatest attire you've ever had on. And the king, he's pretty gullible, but he's also desirous to look his best. Brother Jerry, and he said, well, what do you got? And this guy, you know, he kind of sells him a bit of goods there, you know.
Yeah.
And he's got nothing on Danny. And he says, how's that look, King? And the king says, you know what, that looks pretty good. And the king, you know, he's kind of falling in over his head in this. He said, you know, I believe this is the best I've ever looked. So he goes strutting out through the kingdom out there and all the people trying to figure out how to handle this. Now, I'm going back a long time to recount this memory of this book. And they all say, oh, how glorious the king looks today. They say, oh, doesn't he look wonderful? And the king, he's just strutting even more. Brother Jerry, his fine little old boy, pointed out and said, he ain't got no clothes on. Well, when the little boy put his finger on the problem, the king got all red-faced and embarrassed, run to the castle. But you know what? Until somebody pointed their finger,
right,
Rita, it didn't look that bad. See what I mean? Well, this is kind of like what this message is today. I'm going to point the finger on what's wrong. You're going to have to make some kind of decision on whether Brother Eddie's right or not. Now, I'm going to tell you what provoked this message just so you'll know. I drove by Happy Valley Elementary School right over there by McDonald's, Wendy's, Little Caesar Pizza. And I had noticed they painted the steps going into the school the rainbow color. I'd seen it before and it bothered me before. But Carolyn, it bothered me this time more than I could bear. I mean, I got a conviction. I mean, I didn't like it when I saw it the first time.
Right.
I didn't like it when I saw it this time. But I'll tell you right now, I bowed my head even as I was driving down through there, trying to get a shortcut to my son's house to bring him an Arby's roast beef, the half pounder, you know what I'm talking about, where I had to pay about $10 for it. Dad, you mind getting me a sandwich? I'm hungry. I said, okay. Kind of like that lady where your daughter wanted to borrow earrings, okay? Can I borrow them? Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, as I drive by this school, and I see these big rainbow steps going into school, I realize these are little elementary children. They're just little lambs. I mean, they're just as innocent as they can be.
That's right.
They really, for lack of better words, they're just victims. So somebody had the audacity not only to do what they're doing behind closed doors, but to paint outside what they're doing behind the closed doors. And kind of rubbed it in my face, you know.
Yeah.
So I look at those steps, Brother Ed, and I can just kind of be in denial and say, well, you know, it's not that bad or whatever. Well, listen, here's what I did. I bowed my head. I said, Lord, I really can't do nothing about that, but I know you can. I pray you'll expose this wickedness.
Right.
I pray you'll overthrow it. Now, when I said I couldn't do nothing about it, God says, is that right? He said, oh boy, you can preach against it. Now, God chose the foolish to preach it.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you how it works. See, David took a man's wife.
Right.
He took her out of the Hittite's wife,
yeah.
Bathsheba. Now, that worked out pretty good until a preacher come by one day,
yeah,
and put a finger in his face and said, you're the man.
Right.
Now, look, that's what a preacher's all about. Preacher kind of puts a finger in your face and says, hey, you need to do something.
Right.
Well, that's what kind of help God did to me.
Right.
He said, ain't you a preacher, boy? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, okay. Now you got your message. That's a rough message, Karen. I don't get no joy at all in a preaching message like this, but I'll tell you right now, I'm not against it. I'm more for it than I am against it. So you hold on here. It's going to be rough. Piers Morgan called Joel Osteen one day on his program and point blank asked him the question. I mean, just dropped it on him like a bomb. You may have seen it, you may not. They might know what he asked him. He asked Joel Osteen, of course he's over the mega church where down in Texas, wherever, you know. He said, is homosexuality a sin? And Joel Osteen kind of looked like he could Bob Crane. I mean, Adam's apple went up down about 3 or 4 times, you know. His countenance changed quite a bit. And I will say this about Joel Osteen. I commend him for this. He said, yes, it's a sin. I commend him for that, Danny. I do. I mean, I ain't got any use for him. I mean, I have to admit, I don't. You know, he's somewhat kind of like Paul sitting there with Christ and preach. But anyway, he did say, yes, it is a sin. I wish he'd just stop right there.
Yeah.
But then the lace on his underwear kind of come out, and he kind of backpedaled a little bit, you know. And he said, now there's a lot of sins in the Bible. Now, I don't disagree with that. I agree with that. And I appreciate him saying, and it was probably pretty tough just to say, Yes, homosexuality is a sin. And then Piers Morgan got to put him on the spot. He said, you mean to tell me that people like Elton John is a sinner? And I seen old Joel, he got to put his hand back on his billfold. And he got another pearl, you know, his wife kind of helped him, you know. She said, now we're not against that kind of people. We love them. Hey, look, I necessarily could even agree with that. I'm not against them either. If they can handle the preaching, come on in.
That's right.
Hey, I don't sugarcoat. I got to answer to God. I'd rather have you mad at me than have God mad at me.
Right.
But in this message right here, I want you to know if God mandated this message, I ain't got no trust in the matter. The same God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach the preaching he'd been in the new. I want you to know I ain't going to get swallowed by no whale. I want you to know I'm on board. I'm ready right now to preach to you.
Come on.
Paul said to you in Rome, he said, I'm ready. Joel Osteen's answer was good. I wish he'd stayed with it. But he kind of got the, you know, yeah. And let me say this, it'll cost you something to stand for truth.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it'll cost you something. You might get thrown in the fire, you might get thrown in the lion's den, you might get thrown into prison, but let me say this also, it's worth it.
That's right.
Yeah, it'll cost you something.
Right.
Somebody said, I can't do nothing. I said, yeah, you can. You're just not willing. You can. I was telling them in Sunday school this morning about all the Christians who have been slaughtered in China. Been kind of mushy, hid behind the news media. They're not going to mention it. But they're hunting them down, overthrowing these churches in China. And the more they persecute them, the more they seem to prosper. But I'll tell you right now, they ain't got no problem at all laying their life down for Christ. They love the Lord. And they're paying a great price for it over there. Over here, we just kind of got it made. Now, I really got to go on. But let me say this real quick. To all the Pharaohs out there that say, who is the Lord that I should obey Him, mentioned in Exodus chapter 5, verse number 2. To all the pilots out there that say, what is truth? John chapter 18, verse number 38. To all the Belshazzars out there that have got to see the writing on the wall and finally hear the words you knew better, writing on the wall is Daniel 4:25, and the fact that he knew better was Daniel chapter 5 verse 22. No, I'm sorry. Daniel chapter 5 verse 22 is you knew better. To all the Nebuchadnezzars out there that have to learn the hard way that the Most High rules in the affairs of men, Daniel 4:25. And those that walk in pride, he's able to abase, Daniel 4:37. Let me say this. I have a word for you. So listen, and listen good. I'm getting ready to preach now. Now I'm just going to throw this at you so you'll have an understanding of how things work. Yesterday, I listened to a radio program by Lee Watts. Anybody here know Lee Watts?
Yeah.
He's got a radio program on King King's Radio. Comes on Saturday afternoon, about 5:30, I think. I'm not sure about the time. I had the radio on. I just happened to listen in on it. He's got an internet website called God and Country. Lee Watts is a Christian conservative chaplain to Lexington, Kentucky. And he just kind of keeps, he's a watchdog. He just kind of keeps an eye on what's going on up there. And then he comes back and gives word to us so we'll know how to vote, what to do. Now, I want to throw this at you, and you listen, and you listen real good right here. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I done shared this with Brother Eddie. He knows a little bit about what I'm going to say. Yesterday, as I was listening to Lee Watts, he mentioned something that even I wasn't aware of, and I tried to keep an eye on everything. He mentioned this, and my ears tingled that I didn't understand this like the truth of the true matter. Does anybody know Andy Beshear?
Yes.
I hate to get all political on you. That's the son of Steve Beshear. Just so you'll know, Steve Beshear robbed you blind. Didn't get an amen on that, did I? It was found out only after he was out of office,
right,
that he had all of the auctions on the construction jobs rigged. Only his friends got them. at a higher price, and they split the profit.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Only after he left office. Matt Bevin's one dug it out. Let that sink in just a little bit. Like I said, this one in message, listen good. His son, now I'm not going to stay very long here, but I want you to listen good. His son, Andy Beshear, I didn't get political in preaching, but there's no choice, it has to be told there.
Right.
He's over in the job he's in right now, he's over the funding of projects in Kentucky. Now, this is going to get you going to blindside you just a little bit. Andy Beshear just won. This week I voted. Andy Beshear won the Democratic primary election.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you what people voted for. Andy Beshear, in the position he's in right now, depleted all the funds out of the school teacher's pension and wages and move them to another place and find it something you wouldn't support or be for and you didn't even know it.
Right.
Hello.
That's right.
You know what else he did? He put the blame on Matt Bevin.
Yes, he did.
You didn't? I didn't know that
yes,
either.
He did.
I had second thoughts about Matt Bevin myself. I thought, well, I know Matt Bevin. I know he's a great Christian man. I know he's a great conservative, and I thought, well, I know his motive's right. I know he's only doing what needs to be done, but I didn't know that Matt Bevin was 100% for funding teachers' pensions and teachers' wages. Why didn't it get done? Listen, and listen good. Andy Beshear.
Right.
You get it yet?
Yes. Yeah.
Are you getting this? You won't get that on the news.
No, that's right.
That's why Pilate said, what's truth? See, we don't know what truth is.
That's right.
We get fed this bunch of mess. We can't even find out what the heck's going on. I'm not done. I just got to remember this guy's name. Nancy Pelosi tried to push a bill through the House, and a congressman not only refused to vote for it, but he refused to leave. Now, this congressman's name, Chip Roy, he's a congressman of Texas. That's why I got my paper out. I have to write this stuff down. I'm not that smart, Danny. Here's how it went down. See, they was getting ready to have a recess, Rita.
Yeah.
And everybody was leaving. Nancy, she's kind of like that snake Danny had on his phone there. You know, she's one of them big, long. Remember, you remember her statement, you'll find out what's in it after you vote for it.
You know?
I mean, who in their right mind would vote on those pretenses?
That's right.
That's her own word. You'll find out what's in it after you vote for it. Would you vote something you didn't know what the heck you voted for? See what I mean? Okay, here's what she did. You listen good. Because I didn't know the truth about this matter neither. She waited till everybody left. One guy refused to leave. Chip Roy. If he'd have left, Rita and Carolyn, Nancy Pelosi could have pushed this bill through on what's called a consensus. That means nobody's there to speak against
it. Right.
Chip Roy didn't leave. Mm-hmm. He voted against it. You know why he voted against it? Because this bill, I think I wrote down the bill number here. Let's see here. Man, you got to pay attention this day and time.
That's right.
A big dummy me, I didn't write down the bill number. But anyway, Chip Roy kept the bill from passing. See, does anybody remember a word called earmark?
Yeah.
You remember that's where they attach a bunch of money to a bill and just kind of slide through there, and then you have no idea where the money went because it was sent somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Kind of like one of them Andy Beshear deals. Anyway, because Chip Roy stayed, Nancy Pelosi couldn't push this bill through the consensus matter. But guess who got the blame for the bill not getting passed? See, it sounded good. I think it's House Bill 622. I think it's right. I may be wrong on that. But listen here. She couldn't do what she wanted to do, push this bill through. But you know what she did? She put the blame on Chip Roy. You know what happened this morning? Earlier this morning, I get up like 4 o'clock. I get to see Chip Roy come on Fox News. He said, I just want to clear my name. Mm-hmm. I want everyone to know, he's a Republican. He said, I want y'all to know why I didn't vote for the bill. He said, yeah, I'm guilty. I did vote against it. I want you to know why I couldn't vote for it. And when he told the truth of the thing, I had to realize just how dirty our politicians are, how crooked criminal I'm telling you they truly are, and we need to wake up, and we need to stop looking around. We need to stop listening and listening good.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's right.
Thank you. Now, here's the message. I'm on the wrong page. Like I said, I have a word for you, so listen, listen good. It's clear, clear as I can put it. Homosexuality is sin.
Yes,
gay is not okay.
Right.
You won't hear this kind of message anywhere close to this church, and it's going to be tough, really, here today to hear this. I'll be as brief as I can. When I passed by that Happy Valley school and I looked at those steps going in that school painted in rainbow colors and up at the top, the ABC up there in rainbow colors, and I know that looks innocent in nature, and they try to mince the word, they try to kind of, you know, paint it a different color. Well, I'm going to pull the veneer back.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you why I said homosexuality is sin. I'm going to make it abundantly clear. Well, I can't support it. Well, I can't turn the other way. You know, you might be able to, but I can't. My blood boiled. I got under conviction that this was going on not only in my town, but right underneath my nose. Amen.
That's right.
I could not forbear crying out against this wickedness. Amen. Like I said, these lambs are innocent. But those that are promoting this lifestyle are not innocent.
Right.
That gay agenda, Agenda 21, it's not innocent. It's a concerted effort to undermine your desire and my desire. That Equality Act, House Bill 22, I believe it's what it is, something like that. But the Equality Act will bind me to where I can't say you can't have a gay marriage in this church.
Yeah.
It'll bind you that you can't speak against it.
Right.
I want you to know we better start waking up. We better start paying attention. Amen.
Amen.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
You got that right.
Those that are promoting this, they're not innocent, buddy. We will take the Word of God today and we will prove. I know a lot of people may not be able to write the divide this Bible, but I'm going to take it today and I'm going to prove that the gay lifestyle is sin. Paul mentioned in Romans here, same book we're in, Romans chapter 7, verse 13, sin that it might appear sin. You see, we've lost sight of sin because someone makes it into a matter.
Yeah.
Instead of telling the truth about it. You know, it's some kind of, some kind of Islam video called Benghazi to be attacked and all. I don't say right now there's a whole lot more going on. They made something like 600 phone calls for help, and the phones weren't even answered.
That's right.
There were some men that couldn't take what was going on, went over there and sacrificed their own self to come to the aid of these that were dying at Benghazi. Mighty men of God, great warriors, great soldiers were killed.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're still kind of muddying the waters on that.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul said sin, that it might appear sin. If you'll take the Bible, not throw it out, but actually take it, right, divide it, it'll show you. Paul said, I had not known sin, but by the law, Romans chapter 7, verse number 7. We've lost sight of sin by leaving the Word of God and turning to other sources. Let me say real quickly here, you can't Google sin.
That's right.
You can't turn to science to get an answer about what's sin. They might give you some kind of theory. By the way, evolution is a theory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been corresponding with some people on Facebook and they said evolution is a fact. I said, no, sir. It's a theory. I said, if you knew the truth, you wouldn't even think like that, much less act like that.
That's right.
But you know what I mean? They muddy the waters up a little bit there. They try to say something and it's not necessarily altogether true. The science can't give you the answer, but God's Word is bold to point out what sin is. Amen. All unrighteousness is sin. We started out right there at verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth
yeah.
and unrighteousness. They bend it just a little bit. They make it gray instead of black and white. Amen. God's word is bold when it comes to pointing out sin. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17 says, all unrighteousness is sin, therefore. Also, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, to do it not, to him it's sin. James 4, verse 17. Like I said, Belshazzar had to hear the words. You knew better than this. He did know better. But he went ahead and did it anyway. But let me say, the commandment from God is to sin not. John chapter 8, verse 11. He told that woman that was caught red-handed in act of adultery, he forgave her. Hey, he actually advocated her case. He said, let he that shall not sin cast the first stone at her. And they had to leave. But I want you to know, he didn't say, go on, y'all right. He said, go and sin no more. God has never advocated sin. He said, come out from among you. Amen.
Amen.
Sin. God has never condoned sin. Sin is the condemnation that separates us from God. God's light, sin's darkness. Darkness that draws men from the light of God. Call it what it is. Call it sin. Amen. In John chapter 3, verse 19 through 21, he talks about men love darkness rather than light. Neither come they to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. I want you to know, buddy, men, they love darkness.
Yeah.
And God tells us that. He said it's unnatural for you to walk light. It was unnatural me as a drunk to come in Bethel Baptist Church 31 years ago. Yet I got in there. And when I got in there, I got under conviction. And when I got under conviction, I gave my heart to Jesus. And when I gave my heart to Jesus, I got my eyes open, amen. And I started seeing things for what they really was.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Homosexuality is against nature. It's unnatural to live that kind of lifestyle. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9 tells us that. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He said, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Whatever that word is right there. That word just didn't get in there by accident.
That's right.
No abusers of themselves of mankind. That effeminate, God put that in on purpose. It's not an alternative lifestyle. It's an abomination according to Leviticus chapter 18 verse 22 and Leviticus chapter 20 verse 13. Now let me say this. Homosexuality is against nature. There's no such thing as gender identity.
That's right.
Doctors no longer now can assign your identity sexually. They have to put an X or a blank or whatever because they say, you know, it's up to you. It's not up to you. God, you know, the Bible says, woe to him that strives with his creator. Mm-hmm. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds. Look, when you start fighting against God, sooner or later you're going to run into God.
You're right.
That's what Saul did.
You're right.
He ran into God. He had to say, who are you? Yeah. Jesus said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. He ended up fighting all the way into God. And he got, I mean, extreme makeover. He is no longer Saul. He became Paul. And the Bible said immediately he preached Christ. I want you to know he had a good outcome there. It ain't always good. There are other people who run into God and they don't get the same chance. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 29 verse number 1, he that being often reproved hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed and not without remedy. There are some people only get one chance.
Yeah.
Other people seem like they can do anything and get away with it.
Right.
Long-suffering of God somehow forbears what they deserve. It must be somebody in the background praying, Brother Ed.
Yeah.
There's somebody back there saying, Lord, I want them to have mercy. I want them to somehow make it. I want them to somehow get saved.
Yes.
I want you to know prayer makes a difference. God's He's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. I tell you what you
Amen.
Do. You show your burden to God on behalf of your children, your grandchildren, your family, whatever. And I'll tell you right now, boy, God will make a difference.
Right.
But those that aren't prayed for, man, they run into God and they have to pay the consequences for
right.
being that stupid. I don't know no other way to put it. For being that stupid. They don't even know what bathroom to go to.
That's right.
How did we get there? I'll tell you what we did. We denied the truth and started living a lie.
You're right.
Somehow or another, we're like the emperor wore no clothes with it. Everybody else is okay with it. I guess I'm okay with it also. No. God's word has not changed. God has not changed. It's the same this day, today, and forevermore.
That's right.
Well, his church may not be what it ought to be, but I'll tell you one thing. Old Brother Jerry, he said, let's get our Heavenly Highway hymn book. Mm-hmm. Let's sing a hymn.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, I appreciate that, Brother Jerry. Mm-hmm. I've been in some churches, and their hymns have been changed.
Yeah.
I know the words, some of these songs. I've sung these songs for like 31 years. Mm-hmm. I can pretty much sing without the book. But in these other churches, they've got them newfangled books. No. I'm sitting there embarrassing everybody because I'm singing like it's supposed to be. And they got it wrote some other way. I want you to know God's not the author of the confusion. And we need to leave some things alone. We need to let it be what it is. Let God be God. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, we're in trouble today. Because we're not following God. We're following some kind of greedy politician, some kind of man.
Right.
Yep. Homosexuality is against nature. It's unnatural. It's an abomination. It's a lifestyle God calls effeminate. And I'll tell you right now, in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, God said, put them to death. He said their blood will be on their own head. It's your own fault. Amen.
Right.
He said, if man lies a woman as a womankind, he said it's an abomination. Put them to death. Well, that's kind of callous, ain't it? Carolyn, he said their blood would be on their own head.
Right.
Yeah.
In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18, God said, if I don't warn them, he can require their blood at my hand. I don't want bloody hands.
No.
I had that happen one time. I didn't understand it at the moment, Brother Jerry. I remember I pulled in a sermon filling station one night going to work. Young boy, John, red-headed John, with his Harley Davidson motorcycle and his leather jacket, come out there, and I really didn't think much about it. He said, how much there, Eddie? I said, fill it up, John. He's back there filling my old Ford pickup truck up. Back then, I didn't have no sense. I drove a Ford, you know what I mean? I'm sure right now. But anyway, back then, he's back there filling my old truck up, you know. God said, won't you take a track back there and give it to him? I'm looking through truck there, you know, I'm trying to find the right track, you know. He that wears souls is wise. I'm trying to be, you know, a little bit of witty here, you know. I thought, what would be a good track for an 18-year-old boy? And I'm looking through my arsenal there and my truck there. I mean, I want to be ready to give a man an answer, ask me a question, and a reason, hope send me. So I'm trying to find the right track, but Danny. Mm-hmm. I thought this would probably be good, you know. Sister Rita, she got us a bunch of tracks, and I commend you. All of them's good tracks. Mm-hmm. Man, I have to admit, I've enjoyed them things. Amen. Well, that's what we need to do is see. Don't leave it in the barn. Take it out there. Look, I don't care if you put it in the restroom, put it at Walmart, put it wherever, but it ain't going to do no good there. Take them out there, put them somewhere. Don't put them in people's mailbox. I didn't know there was a felony. But anyway, get them tracks out, put them in somebody's car, put it on the windshield, raise the wiper up, put it on there, do something with them. Pray them, amen. Now, have enough faith. Now, pray over them. Say, Lord, let this bring up a good crop, amen.
Yes.
Anybody ever heard of D.L. Moody?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Man led a track down the road and said, Lord, help the right one pick this track up. D.L. Moody come by, he's a shoemaker. He seen that, picked it up, read it, got saved.
Yeah.
Simple. Anyway, getting back to my point, if I can find my way back. Whew. Oh, my. John's pumping my gas. I finally find the right track. Thank you, Lord. I have to admit, I got more cobwebs in my head than I've got any brain cells. I go back there to John, Brother Danny, and y'all watch me here. I open up my mouth to speak before I get a word out. A man comes between the pumps. I mean, John's pumping my gas, my truck's right here, and there's about three or four pumps right there. And I'm walking towards John with a track in my hand, I'm almost to him. I say, and a man walks between the gas pumps, a young boy, like John's age, you know. He starts talking to John. You know what I did? You know what stupid thing I did, Rita? I thought,
turn around.
I'll witness to him next time. He died that night. That night. John died that night. You know what I could have did? I mean, I could have gave him the track. He might have thrown it down. But you know what I could have did, Karen? I could have got his blood off my hands.
That's right.
I did put in that effort. I didn't go all the way through with it. See what I mean? I should have went on back and said, hey, boys, I want to just a minute here. Lord, lay it on my heart. Give John a track here. I said, John, take his track and read it. I could at least have done that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think about John down that night. You know what John did? He went to a party that night, got good drinking, and he got a girlfriend with him, you know. And he's got, I think, 45, something like that, you know. And he's Clint Eastwood, you know. He's dirty hair or something, you know. Mm-hmm. His girlfriend, he's getting pretty lit, you know. He's pretty drunk. His girlfriend, she said, John, put that gun up before you hurt somebody. You know what he did, Karen? He put it in his head. He said, it ain't loaded and blowed and burned out. Died instantly. God already knew that.
Yeah.
I believe it was God put John in my heart to give him a try.
Right.
See what I mean? Now, I can't do nothing about that. That's water over the bridge.
Yeah.
I tell you what I can do. I can do about the people I meet today. I'm
right,
saying,
right.
God let my heart and give you a try.
Right.
And you know, I can do that. Yeah. Rita, boy, she done good. She got a whole bushel basket full of seed up there. We can go out and sow seed. Anyway, that's kind of what it's all about there. It's their blood. It's either going to be on our hands or it's going to be on their heads.
Right.
Yeah.
God requires blood. Mm-hmm. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, the Lord, he kind of pretty much said, don't teach lies. He said, whosoever breaks my commandment teaches men to do so, but it's going to be a rough judgment. Now, let's see if I wrote this other one down. I may not have. Yeah. Matthew chapter 18, I think it's verse number 6 through 10. Jesus there, he's talking about, you know, how we ought to be. And he said, a little boy in the midst of them there, and he told them disciples be like that little boy. And then he talked about offenses. I'm going to read this rather than try to quote it. So I'm going to turn to it real quick. But the Lord talked about war unto the world because of offenses.
Yeah.
And that's about what it's come down to. You know, we don't want to offend no one. And they call it hate speech and everything else. But the Lord, He says, verse number 6, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Let me say this real quick. These are God's children.
Yeah, that's right.
I know these parents think these children belong to them, but actually children are our heads from the Lord. Psalm 127, verse 3. That was that verse I was looking up a while ago. It took me a minute to get to the pulpit. I knew I could quote the verse, but I wasn't sure exactly where it was. The Bible's a big book. My mind's a little pea brain. But anyway, Psalm 127, verse 3. Love children are heritage from the Lord. I want you to know, buddy, you don't get children from Walmart. And I want you to know the fruit of the womb is His reward. He sends those children down with a responsibility for the parents to raise them right.
Amen.
You know what God said about Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19? He said, I know him. He said he'll command his children and his household out after him. They'll keep the law of the Lord. Right. They'll keep the commandments of God.
Right.
These children need to be taught.
Right.
They don't know no better.
No. Mm-hmm.
So we got these rainbow steps going into school now. We got children stepping across that accursed rainbow coalition. You know, alternative lifestyle. So-and-so has two daddies, two mommies, whatever. I want you to know this, buddy. It'll come with a price.
Yes, it will.
It might look innocent right now. Wait till the crop comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did y'all see that bunch walk out while Vice President Mike Pence gave his speech?
Yeah.
That's some of the crop. Mm-hmm. All he asked was God to bless them.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
All he asked was the Lord help them. They got up and walked out and said, the crop's coming up. Not sowing good seeds now. It's the calm for the storm.
Yeah.
It's coming, Karen.
Yes, it is.
But I'll tell you what, we're not innocent. We're all guilty here.
Right.
I can't no longer turn my head. I can't put my hand up no more. Act like it's not there. I want you to know when I seen those steps, I want you to know my blood boiled. And I was immediately ready to cry out against that corruption. Boy, how did it happen? Church got silent. Whew, silent right now.
Yes, it is.
Somebody should have said amen.
Amen.
Church got hold tight.
Yeah.
Right.
They told preachers you can't talk about politics from the pulpit. Hey, they didn't call me. I know like Kevin insisted. He said, hey, I'll go to the public square. I'll go out to Hedges Highways. I'll tell you right now, but I love being your pastor. But I have no choice when God tells me and mandates me to preach a message. Best thing I can do is deliver it the best I can. Because I'll tell you right now, Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Amen.
Yep. Amen.
Amen.
Oh my. This is going on right underneath our eyes. Right under our nose. In our own town. They're teaching them lies. Amen.
Yes, they are.
Jesus, he said, I didn't read all the way down through here. He said, woe unto the world, verse 7, because of offenses. See, it offends some people that I say that's wrong. They get all offended, Rita. And they want to persecute me.
Yeah.
You know, I won't bake their cake. So they make sure I lose my business.
Yeah.
They make sure I pay like some $700,000, something like Sweetheart Bakery. You know, we want you to bake a cake, so then we can't bake you a cake. I'll bet you a cake, but I can't put what you want on there.
Right.
See what I mean? You're losing something here.
You're right.
It'll cost you something. Jesus said, woe unto the world called offenses. He said, for it must be that offenses come. They ain't no getting around this. The Lord already told it's going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
It's already going to be like Noah and like Lot. He said, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. He said, therefore, if thy hand or foot offend thee, cut him off. He just said, hey, don't comply with this. You'd be better off to say, I ain't baking you no cake.
Yeah.
I'm not being silent. Mm-hmm. If I've got a free speech, I want to use it.
Right.
I want to say homosexuality is sin.
Right.
I want to say gay is not okay. I want to say it's an abomination in the sight of a holy God.
Amen.
And set the law in order for everything that has breath. And I want you to know He's got supreme authority. He don't have to worry about the court system. He don't have to worry about some liberal judge down in California. He don't have to worry about the Supreme Court. I want you to know He's over all, above all.
Amen.
And I want you to know He's got the final say. It'll be hell to pay.
Yes, amen. Amen.
All
right. Good.
Good preaching.
Father, we thank You for the privilege to stand for the Word of God amidst this crooked and perverse generation, Lord, we've come down to live in this year. Lord, we don't want to be, Lord, helpless. We don't want to cry out, Lord, and say, Lord, that we can do nothing. We just want to do what we can. We want to do what we can while we can. We ask for Your help. We ask You to take this message. I ask You, Lord, to present it as it is, clear and pure from the Word of God. Lord, as truth can be. Your Word says in John 17:17, says Your Word is truth.
Yes.
Lord, we've done our best to preach the truth today. And we just pray Your blessings on it. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good message.